Well, hey, folks, I have the privilege this week for our culture segment in introducing you to Jordan Rayner. He is actually, most specifically, I guess, he would be described as a serial entrepreneur, but he's also a best-selling author, CEO of Threshold 360, and co-founder of Citizenvestor. Jordan, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lisa.
Well, this is fun. We won't spend the entire 20 minutes with you telling me how to, like, get in on the best kind of startup, you know, what I might be good at. Okay. I mean, I don't know. We're going to have to figure this out, but
we'll find something.
Maybe
yeah.
We don't have time for all of that personal coaching, but this is actually, I was telling you before we started taping how I think our audience is really going to benefit from this because, you know, young adults are kind of like want to take the world by storm, want to be creative, do things well, contribute in a big way. And then all of a sudden they're like, you know, the lowest level accounting job possible in a firm,
right,
or they're, working at Chick-fil-A or something like that. So frustration sets in. But not for you, because you've just broken through all that, right?
I wouldn't say there's no frustration, but I've had the blessing of being able to start a number of different ventures and express my creativity through entrepreneurship and other means. And, you know, part of the reason why I wrote this book is to encourage other millennial Christians to do the same thing.
Yeah, very good. And we need them out there. The book he's referencing is called Called to Create, A Biblical Invitation to Create, Innovate, and Risk, which we want to create and innovate. We don't always want to risk.
Right.
You're going to have to help us through that last part. But you talk about creativity kind of in light of actually God's larger story. And I think you say in the book somewhere that God is holy, sovereign, merciful, faithful. But there is a trait that we've forgotten about. Talk to us a little bit about that and how this played into your writing of the book and applying it really to, you know, the world of business and beyond that most people would not put in this category.
Sure. So, you know, this book is really born out of my own experience as a millennial Christian entrepreneur. You know, I went to church every Sunday and I heard all the time that, like you said, God is holy, God is love, God is omnipotent, God is faithful, and He is just, and He is those things, and we should continue to worship Him for those wonderful characteristics. But, you know, it's interesting, the first characteristic that God reveals about Himself in Scripture is that He's creative, right? And I would argue, as the pages unfold in Genesis, I would describe God as the first entrepreneur, which is really what the whole first chapter of the book is. You know, I think conventional and traditional definitions of entrepreneur leave a lot to be desired. And so, you know, in the book, I set forth a new definition that seems to really resonate with readers in that an entrepreneur is anybody who takes a risk to create something new for the good of others, right? And I think with that definition, I think you could certainly see God creating new things, creating for the good of others. He certainly didn't need to create, right? And he did that to share His love with us. And so I think it's a really powerful story to remind ourselves that we worship a God that works. We worship a God that brings something out of nothing. And when we attempt to emulate that character in a very imperfect way, we're doing something that is inherently revealing the character of God to those around us. And that's really why I wrote this book. I wrote this book to explore, you know, what does it look like for us to view that work, to view the work of creativity and entrepreneurship, not as a means of making ourselves famous, right? But as a means of glorifying our Father, as a means of loving and serving others around us really, really well, and as a means of making disciples of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Well, so I can pretty much tell you that everyone listening is separating people into camps, and they are either in
sure.
They're in the creative camp or they're in the uncreative camp. And they're going to tell you, oh, no, Jordan, I know there are some people who are just creative and who are great entrepreneurs. There are other people like me who just know how to take orders and we just do the same old all the time. This is certainly
sure.
not me. What would you say to that person?
So I would say to that person, you know, you're created in the image of the Creator God, right? All of us have some degree of creativity imprinted on us because we are made in his image. That said, it is certainly true, right? We see throughout scriptures that all of us are given different gifts. And some people have a greater, we'll call it, dose of creativity than others. That's certainly true. And you know, part of what I walk through in the book, you know, I think millennials in particular really love to identify with this term entrepreneur, right? It's never been cooler to be an entrepreneur, right? But as I explore in the book, cool doesn't equal calling, right? Just because we are excited about the idea of starting a business or working for ourselves or having great freedom and flexibility that comes with those things doesn't mean that that's what we are called to do, right? If we view our work primarily as a means of glorifying God and serving others really well, you know, we have to find work that we are both passionate about and are exceptionally good at, right? And that takes, you know, that takes a lot of experimentation. That takes, you know, some failure and some trials, and that, you know, individual failures here and there don't necessarily mean that we are not called to create, right? But I think the Christian, I think vocation is really just a continual process of discerning where those passions and giftings intersect. And where God has revealed clear opportunities for us to create culture.
Yeah. I think we would all say there's probably not a millennial Christian out there who wouldn't say that a person like C.S. Lewis wasn't creative, you know, and I think you use him, him as an example of someone who created super awesome things, you know, with biblical narrative. And you actually say we should use his method of creating. How did he do it? What could we learn from him?
Yeah, so one of the things I love about Lewis is, you know, he came to faith in Christ at a later age, right? He was in his 30s, and he was already on a pretty well-established career track, right? So he was already in academia, he was already at Oxford, he was already teaching, he was already writing. And, you know, his encounter with Jesus Christ did not change his work, did not change what he did, but it's pretty clear that it radically changed his relation to his work, right? I think the disciples are also a good example of this, right? They went back to their previous vocations after the ascension of Christ, right? But you know, their encounter with the risen Christ radically changed their relation to their vocations. And so in Lewis's case, you know, Lewis, after, you know, he came to faith in Christ, did not start writing only to Christians, did not start writing things that were overtly and exclusively evangelical, right? But it's clear that his faith influenced the products he chose to create, the products he chose to write, the books he chose to write, right? And you can see throughout the narrative of the Chronicles of Narnia and through some of his other works that there's this clear, grand, big story of the gospel woven throughout these things. But it was written in a way that was accessible. A lot of his writings were accessible to both the Christian and the non-Christian alike. So I just love Lewis's approach to this, right? This idea that, you know, our encounter with Christ doesn't necessarily change what we are doing 40, 50, 60 hours a week, but it is radically changing what we're creating, how we're creating it, and the motivation, and really the ambition behind what's driving us to work so hard.
Yeah, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, but I'd love for you to explain it more. And that's kind of your argument that, you know, Christians in the marketplace creating products and the type of work that we do, it has to reflect God's character. I mean, I think what we're told is it has to sell, it has to be like the latest awesome, sexy thing. How can that thing also be a reflection of the character of God and be good work?
That's a great, great question, right? I think this looks, you know, different for a lot of different entrepreneurs. But, you know, in the book, I use a couple of examples to show what it looks like to create a product that does well in the marketplace, but also reveals the character of God. I think Lewis is a great example. He's one story that I tell in the book. I think another one is, ironically, Arthur Guinness, I think, is a really good example of this. People raise their eyebrows when they hear that name referenced in a book about Christians creating culture. But, you know, Guinness grew up at a time when drinking water across Europe was very dangerous, right? Incredibly so. Water, you know, was contaminated. People were dying by drinking really dirty water, much like what we see in Africa and other nations today in, you know, 2018. And so the solution in Europe was they made gin, right? They made gin, this drink that was super high in alcohol content, and people were getting drunk, right? Consistently, were getting drunk across Europe. And so Guinness loved Jesus. He was heavily influenced by the teachings of John Wesley, who was preaching at St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin, where Guinness went to church. And Guinness had started in his career as a brewmaster, what we call brewmaster today. He was brewing beer. And he basically saw an opportunity to create a beer that was far lower in alcohol content, and that was relatively healthy. It was safe to drink, and it was filling, right? So the idea was, people aren't going to stop drinking alcohol. Let's create something with far lower quantities of alcohol in it, and let's love our neighbors through that, right? Because we know that in Scripture, God calls us to view our body as a temple and to not engage in drunkenness. And so that was the impetus for Guinness Brewing Company, right? Guinness revealed God's character through a lot of different ways, not only in the products he created, but also in the way that he radically loved his employees well. You know, we talk a lot about Google and Microsoft and companies like that that love their employees well today. What these companies do pale in comparison to the way that Guinness loved his employees, right? He paid for college for all of his employees' kids. He sent all the families of his employees on week-long vacations paid for by the Guinness Brewing Company, right? Just an incredible story of how Christians can use business, use the marketplace to create good products, to love our neighbors, and to love employees radically well and share the gospel in action and in deed.
Yeah. I also want you to tell a little bit about a kind of a modern day of example of that unpack a little bit in the book, and that is of In-N-Out Burger, that incidentally is going to be coming to Colorado sometime soon.
Hey, there you go. So congratulations. We're glad, still waiting here in Florida.
We're glad for the expansion. But you said you kind of had a little experience in observing what was going on the first time you went there. What did you learn?
Yeah, so I was in college. I was visiting a friend in Los Angeles, and she was like, hey, we got to go to In-N-Out Burger. It's the greatest thing in the world. I'm from Tampa. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. But as soon as we walked in, right, it was pretty clear to me that this place was really different, right? First, it was jam-packed. Secondly, you could tell that customers were fanatical about this place. They were ordering things off of the menu that I didn't see, all these secret things like animal style and whatever on the menu. So it was pretty incredible. And, you know, the staff seemed super happy to be there. They seemed super engaged, much more than you would find at other fast food chains. And then I, like, tasted it in an In-N-Out Burger, and it, like, blew my mind. And to this day, anytime I'm traveling out west, I eat almost exclusively at In-N-Out Burger and gain a few pounds before I head back to Florida. But, you know, the In-N-Out Burger is another great example of a business whose founders love Jesus Christ. To this day, it's run by Christian leadership that stayed within the Snyder family. It's just a good example of a business that really prioritizes excellence in everything they do and really loves their employees well, right? I talk a lot in the book about how we prioritize people over profit. And I think In-N-Out Burger is a really, really great example of that. They've consistently paid their workers across the board higher than other salaries within the industry, and they love their employees well. And, you know, In-N-Out Burger is probably most famous for, how they print scripture on their products, right? So if you turn over an In-N-Out Burger cup, you'll see John 3:16 or another Bible verse. But, you know, I think a lot of times Christians think that that's what it looks like to be a Christian entrepreneur or a Christian business owner. And I just think that's really surface level, right? And in the book, I kind of dove deep and said, let's take a deeper look at how some business owners are integrating the gospel more holistically throughout their organization, right? So In-N-Out Burger, what makes In-N-Out Burger so great is not that they put John 3:16 on their cup, right, but that they treat their employees really well, right? And that it opens up conversations to share the gospel and treat their customers really well and use the highest quality ingredients and create really excellent products that love and serve their communities really well, make people in Colorado Springs and Tampa, Florida crave to have In-N-Out Burger in their towns, right? So it's an amazing business. And again, just a great example of thinking more holistically about how our faith impacts our businesses and our work, much beyond just, you know, slapping a Bible verse on a product or keeping a Bible on our desk at work. And again, those things are not bad things. Those can be very good things, right? But I think you know, connecting our faith with our work can be much, much deeper than that.
Yeah. So it seems, Jordan, that some people do that well and some people don't do that as well. There are a lot of very earnest Christians out there who maybe want to start a business or do something, and they kind of fall flat, you know, because either, you know, then people are like, oh, no, you were just way too eager beaver. Or you're just super cheesy with the Christian slogans or whatever. How how can you assess, like, how to really infuse your faith and the character of Christ into what you're doing without making it about you or trying to force the issue?
Yeah, I think it takes a lot of discernment, right? And I think all of this, I don't think we can be effective Christians in the marketplace unless we are, regularly tapping into, to the Word, right? We're regularly in the Word, we're regularly in fellowship with other believers, and regularly communing with the Holy Spirit and communicating with God through prayer, right? So I think that's the foundation, right? To really be able to properly discern what's too much, what's too little, and integrate in our faith with our business. But, you know, one of the points I really try to make in the book and Called to Create is that, faith and work don't need to be separate. We treat them so separately. We treat 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, so separately from Sunday, right? But, but because God has called us to work, He's called us to create, our faith should change everything about how we work and how we do business. And I think the book and the stories of the people who I share in the book offer a good guide for how to do that in a variety of different ways, right? Again, from the products we choose to create, to creating with excellence, to prioritizing people over profit, to our ambition for our creations.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of the Martin Luther quote. The fact wasn't he the one that said the Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes. And God being interested in that. That's great. Okay, so now let's take it back to our audience here, like 20 and 30 somethings who are kind of like doing the worker, workaday life, whatever. Talk to those folks. I mean, there are some that just need to know how to take stock of what they're doing right and maximize it and really, be innovative, be creative in the field that they're in, find out how to get new energy and life from that. How do they determine that versus the folks that realize, oh, my goodness, I may be doing something that is completely sucking the life out of me and I might need to change? Or how do we do that self-assessment and know where to go in that fork in the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's something that it's certainly something that I've struggled with as a Christian millennial for a number of years, and I think others do too. And really, I think the core of this is an issue of discerning our calling, right? And I think anytime we're discerning where God has called us to expend our energy, I think it's important to remember that our work is only going to be a calling if somebody, i.e. God, calls us to it and we work for His sake rather than our own, right? If we're not doing that, if we're not working for the agenda of our caller, then work isn't a calling. We're basically calling ourselves to our work. And that's why a lot of our work feels really empty and really shallow, right? So I think we first got to reorient ourselves and reorient our work around this idea that if it's going to be a calling, we got to work for the agenda of the caller, right? And once we've wrapped our heads around that, I think there are a couple of questions that we've got to ask when discerning our calling at any fork in the road in our career. I think the first is, what are we passionate about, right? Scripture is clear that God has given us certain passions and things that really get us fired up, right? And I think that's an important piece of the puzzle. I think the challenge is most Christians stop there, right? They define calling as whatever I really want to do the most, right? And I think that's incomplete, right? I think you got to ask a second question, which is, what am I really, really gifted at? Where has God, what gifts has God given me? What can I do exceptionally well? Going back to the Martin Luther quote, right? The Christian isn't just the one who puts, the crosses on the shoes. It's the person who makes really, really good shoes. If we are to love our neighbors through our work, we ought to do work that is that we can do exceptionally well. That is a primary way in which we love our neighbors. Right, so the first question is, what am I passionate about? The second question is, what am I gifted at? And then I think the third question, and again, this goes back to, you know, regular communion with the Lord and others, is really aimed at figuring out, where is God moving around me? And, you know, where do I see clear opportunities to marry my passions and my giftings to love others really well, right? I think I interviewed about 45-50 Christians for Called to Create that cross a wide array of businesses, industries, and those three questions were really the core of how these people thought about calling and where God was leading them to expend their, you know, energies for 40, 50, 60 hours a week.
Yeah, that's good. Well, folks, we've been talking here to Jordan Rayner. The book is Called to Create, A Biblical Invitation to Create, Innovate, and Risk. And we've only kind of answered a few of the questions that he really delves into in the book itself. And, you know, we kind of touched on that idea of like, oh, well, shouldn't I just be in Christian ministry? Because that's better than being in the public square or being in the work in the corporate world and whatever. There's just a lot in here that I think he helps navigate and helps us understand as it relates to our own profession and our own calling. So, Jordan, thank you so much for sharing a little bit of your own story and helping us kind of understand the importance of work and good work in the sense of what God's character is asking us to reflect. So we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Lisa.